Hey y'all, welcome to Marcy in the Middle, a podcast about transitions and the middle of life. Here we talk about everything from relationships to finding your place in the world and lots more. We'll talk with friends from all walks of life and find out what they've learned along the way. So whether you feel young or old or somewhere in between, this is the place for you. Welcome to the Middle. Welcome to Marcy in the Middle. Today, my guest is Ashley Self. Right. Ashley is celebrating 11 years of sobriety this month, and she has very graciously agreed to share her story of recovery. So I'm excited to get into this because she has a really good story. Welcome to the podcast, Ashley.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited, too. Congrats on 11 years, first of all.
Yeah, thank you.
That is a long time, and I have only known you for probably 5 years.
Around there.
4 or 5 years. We worked together for a little bit, and I did not know about her testimony. So today we're going to kind of just jump right in with it. I guess, Ashley, just start by telling us a little bit about your growing up and teen years, and then we'll just hear it.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually am the only daughter in my family. I have two brothers. My mom and dad divorced when I was really young. My dad was an alcoholic, was abusive to my mom, and she took us and came back to Antlers. After their divorce, my mom kind of struggled. She has her own story, and she struggled, ended up being in addiction also. So we ended up living with my grandparents from, I don't even know how young. And I would see my mom off and on. She would come in and out whenever she would get sober and stuff. But she had her own stuff to deal with. I love my mom. She's sober now.
Great.
And so we have a great relationship.
Great.
And, but I just kind of struggled with finding a place to belong. Even though I was raised by my grandparents, like, they really, really tried their hardest.
Yeah.
But I still didn't really feel like I had a place to belong. And I struggled with that all through my childhood and into my, you know, my teen years. Probably by my freshman year, I had been partying. You know, I fell in with the crowd that partied and all of that stuff, and ended up drinking. And by 16, I had started using meth.
Okay.
So that's kind of where my addiction started. I had started hanging out with people that was way older than me that were kind of my mom's friends and my friends. And, you know, one choice of hanging out with the wrong crowd that night and them offering me drugs. I did it one time and fell in love with it and just loved the way that it kind of pulled me in. I felt like I finally found a place to belong. Little did I know that it would just send me, that choice would send me on a trajectory to be an addict for 14 years.
Wow.
And so I struggled off and on throughout my teenage years. I ended up in trouble with the law whenever I was 17. They put me on probation and I just could not get sober. Like I had moved in with my mom, and it was just so plentiful. Like, I just, it was just so easily available to me, and all of my friends did it, and I honestly didn't want to quit.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just all that I had known. And so I had got put on probation, and then I failed several drug tests, and then they put me on house arrest.
Okay.
And I remember that was probably the lowest I had ever been. I really, really struggled with a lot of depression and a lot of suicide at that area, in that area of my life. A lot of people don't know that I struggled with that. But I can see the Lord through all of this. I remember sitting at my house one day on house arrest. I was there by myself. I had run out of drugs. You know, I was just so depressed, and I was just at my wit's end thinking about committing suicide. And I hear a knock on the door, and it's my probation officer. And he just kind of sat with me, and he's like, "What is it going to take for me to help you? Like, what do you need from me?" to get you sober and to get you out of where you're at in life. And I was like, I need out of this place. I need out of this town. Yes. I need away from all of this. I need a safe place to be. So he sent me to rehab. I was 17. It's a 6-month rehab.
Okay.
So I turned 18 in rehab, didn't get to graduate with my class, got my GED while I was in there, which was also a really big blow to me because I was a straight A student.
Yeah.
I had planned on going to college, had all of these dreams and all of these aspirations. Like, I was really good at band. You know, I was on the honor society. I had all of these things going for me. And then that one choice to hang out with the wrong people and do drugs that one time took it all away from me.
Yeah.
Because it just, I couldn't see a way out after that.
Mm-hmm.
My older brother also fell into addiction as well. After I got into rehab, though, I found God again. I really, really just sold out to him. I could feel him. Like, I went to church quite often in rehab, and I was like, Lord, you know, like, what do you, he restored a lot of me, the broken parts that I had tried to cover up with the drugs, you know, because, I don't know if I even said this part, but my dad died when I was 10, in a car wreck. And so I was angry. I was angry at God because, you know, I didn't have my dad. My mom was gone. Like, no, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I just felt so alone and lost in the world and not seen.
Yeah.
And so that's why, I mean, it was just so easy for Satan to bait me with, well, here you can belong somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And belonging is, man, just such a core need.
Yes.
That, honestly, you're born with it.
Yeah.
And if you had a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
Like, big T trauma. Yep. So that just opens you up to.
Yeah. And then so once I graduated rehab, I begged them to let me stay. I didn't want to come home.
Yeah.
I didn't have the support. I mean, I still have my grandparents. They did their best. I mean, they were great people. Like, they instilled a lot of core values. Like, I respect people. Like, I have good manners. You know, all of those things. But all of those things couldn't keep me from being an addict.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't give me – I didn't have God, for one. I feel like my aunt and uncle took me to church off and on. And so I did kind of have some basis.
Yeah.
And I knew where to go back to.
Right.
I knew where I felt safe.
Yeah.
And that's something that I always held on to. Like, I've always known where my help was if I needed it.
Yeah.
And so, like, even through my addiction, I would find myself praying, Lord, like, just let me make it one more day.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and finally, when I graduated rehab, I went to live in Colorado Springs with my aunt and uncle.
Okay.
I stayed up there for a little while, but I came back for Christmas.
Yeah.
Against their wishes.
Of course.
And I fell right back into what I was doing. So then I spiraled again and just went head off, you know, head deep in it again.
Yeah.
Whenever I was 21, I got pregnant with my daughter. She saved my life.
Yeah.
Like, he knew what I needed when I had her.
Yeah.
Like, I was in a really, really bad place. Just mentally, I was drinking probably a fifth of Jack Daniels a day by myself.
Yeah.
I was just so tired.
Yes.
And I wanted out, but I didn't know how to get out.
Yeah.
And so once I got pregnant with her, I tried to stay sober. I moved to Stillwater.
Okay.
And lived up there for a couple years.
Who did you live there with?
With my aunt and uncle, the same ones that I lived in Colorado with. So they've always been like that. Come let us help you. And I really appreciate that. Even though, like, it didn't stick, you know, I always appreciated the fact that they gave me that kind of foundation in God and tried to help.
Sure.
Tried to lead me in the
They
right
were
way.
A safe place.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the process.
And so I lived up there for several years, and I got sober and was trying to do best. You know, my daughter was 3. And then I started coming back to Antlers every other weekend to take her to see her dad.
Okay.
Started hanging out with the same friends again and fell right back into it.
Yeah.
My daughter was 5 whenever I met my husband.
Okay.
Four or five. It was in 2011. We were both really bad in addiction.
Okay.
Really, really.
Was he running in the same kind of crowd you were?
Not really. We literally only had one friend, one in mutual common. Friend.
Okay.
And she and I went and picked him up. And, like, we joke about it, but, like, we literally hung out one time and just never left each other after that.
It was meant to be.
It was just meant to be. And so we literally just fell for one another.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, our relationship wasn't perfect. We were pretty toxic for each other because neither one of us was in a good place mentally or you know, and then we were together for several years, and then I got pregnant with my second child.
Okay.
By then he and I were to that point where I just wanted out.
Right.
You know, I wanted something different. Mm-hmm. I was tired of feeling the way I felt, tired of always feeling like I needed the next high dose to function or, you know, things
like
that.
Were you still doing meth during this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had started, once I moved back down here from Stillwater around 2010, I started using it again.
Yeah.
And so I just really, and he just got to the point where, you know, he was wanting more too.
Yeah.
We both were just,
yeah.
God was bringing us to a point to where, like, we had hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
He was facing jail time. Mm. I was pregnant again. And I'm like, what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, like, we're so toxic for each other when we're using.
Yeah.
And so my kids need something more. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm very thankful for my husband because he took it upon himself to say, hey, we need something different.
Yeah.
And so he put himself into rehab.
Okay.
And I stayed home.
Yes.
Which was hard.
I can't imagine.
On its own. You know, with the, you know, I had a 4-year-old, I'm pregnant, and I'm trying to stay sober.
Trying to stop, yeah.
And so he was in there for 45 days. And while he was in there, what's crazy is he tells his story, and it's crazy the way that God worked in this story. Because I was at home, and my aunt and uncle, I have an RV park. And so, like, my aunt and uncle was at the RV park staying.
Yeah.
And I hadn't talked to him in years. And so, like, we just happened to be, you know, talking one night, and they invited me to church while he's in rehab.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So I went to church with him on Wednesday night, and it just felt like home.
Yeah.
Like, it was just an instant, like, this is where I belong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is where I'm going to. This is where I need to be.
Yeah.
And so, and then the next day he calls and he's like, did you get my letter? And I'm like, no, but listen, I was like, I found us a church. And he's like, you haven't read my letter. And I'm like, no, why? What's it say? And he's like, in my letter, he said, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know I have to do it with God. And I know we need to find us a church. And
chills.
I was like,
you're like, what?
And so, like, we're both just crying because I'm like, God is just so
only
good.
God can do that.
Only God can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and we were at that church for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, most of our sobriety, we've recently moved to a different church, but God knew what we needed and the support that we needed.
Yes.
And, you know, neither one of us could really function in, like, a crowd or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, they just embraced us and brought us in. And, like, just, they're like, my husband, this is part of his story, but I'm going to share it. Like, the preacher talked about us. He and my husband, we were going to help with a kids camp.
Uh-huh.
And my husband's like, man, like, there's no telling what you're going to find when you do my background check.
Yes, yeah.
And he's like, you know, I'm not worried about your past. I'm worried about your future.
Right.
And so, I mean, they did background checks, you know, to protect the kids and all that, which you weren't going to find anything to do with kids. But, you know, I mean, he had lots of drug charges.
Yeah.
And, but it was just so amazing how those people just shined a light into us and just lifted us up and would come and get us for church and take us to church.
Yes.
And, you know, it wasn't, you know, we were several years in. They gave us a job at the church. Like, I was Wednesday night teacher for kids, for little girls. Like, I was pouring back into these kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I loved every minute of it. and my husband became the men's leader, and God just restored so much by giving us a place in his house.
Yeah. And so fast.
Like, I was pregnant with my middle kid, Lexi, and I was working that kids camp that summer.
Yeah.
Like, I was big and fat and working kids camp. It really? Hot. But it was
You're
just,
a trooper.
It was just, I knew if I could get in there.
Yeah.
And it was something that was just real.
Yes.
I could feel him.
Yeah.
And I could feel the realness of his grace and his love and his mercy. And I needed that forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I needed that healing that only he could give me. Mm-hmm. Like, I searched for it and trying to figure out, like, you know, hey, like, I need to talk to my dad's side of the family.
Right.
You know, I need to connect with people. And I remember so vividly, I was at a revival one time, and I was just pouring out my heart, like, Lord, like, restore these relationships and, you know, help me to heal. And he's like, you don't need them for healing. You need me.
Yeah.
And so after that, I didn't find, like, my healing in people.
Right.
And fixing situations or getting close to somebody. Like, I found my healing in God.
Yeah.
And it was just empowering. And so, but, like, going back to the, when we first started going to church there, you know, like, for my husband, the addiction and the cravings and all of that was, like, an instant gone for him.
Okay.
For me, it wasn't. Okay. And I don't know if it's, I know God can use, he's using it now, so I can relate to a different group of people than my husband can.
Yeah.
And so I struggled with still wanting to use even up to 2 years after I had been sober. And I was so mad. I was so mad. I'm like, why is it so easy for him to just, to be gone?
To be done.
And I have to struggle with it all the time.
Yeah.
And I was so mad. And I'd get so mad.
This is not fair.
And it wasn't fair to me. Like, I just, you know, I had to be at home for 45 days by myself, pregnant, trying to just figure life out while he was in rehab. And I love that about him, because, like, the statistics say, if the man will get saved, if the man will get sober, the wife will. And we're living proof that that's a true statistic.
Yeah.
Like, I followed my husband into sobriety. If he hadn't chose to go into sobriety, who knows if I ever would have.
Right.
You know, even though I was tired, I needed that man to lead me, because that's what God says. Like, you are led.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be led by your husband into doing what God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
And he lifts you up. Mm-hmm. That's what a husband's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And my husband's the epitome of trying to lift me up into the things that I'm supposed to be.
That's so good.
And so 2 years into, you know, going to church and all of these things, and we're at a kids camp again.
Okay.
And I'm still struggling. And I'm like, I'm so mad, Lord.
Right.
Like, I want you to take this. And so we've been at kids camp for all week, and it's parents' night.
Okay.
And, like, there's all these parents there.
Yeah.
And we're having this dinner, and the worship starts playing or whatever. He said, if you'll go up to the front in front of everybody and put your hands up, I'll take it from you. I was like, heck yes. So, like, you know, it feels awkward, you know, like they got a puppet show going on and the kids are all playing, and the Lord's like, just go surrender it to me and ask me one more time. And I went up there, and since then I've never craved it.
That is
He took
amazing.
It, but I struggled with it for 2 years after I was trying to get clean. I was so mad.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? But I had to lean on him every step of the way.
Which is exactly why he lets us struggle, I think.
Yeah.
I think especially Christians or people who are grow up, or not even grow up, just if you're a part of a faith community.
Yeah.
So it seems like that should be how it works.
Yeah.
Well, I accept him, I follow him, and then I'm perfect.
Yeah.
And
that's not the reality.
That's not the reality. And I love that you're sharing that part, because I think there are people who get an instantaneous kind of deliverance, is what I would call it, or relief from whatever is their struggle. And then
it's not always the case.
Sometimes it's
walking with God is hard.
And he wants us to depend on him.
It is hard.
We're so trained the other way. And it's taken me till probably 10 years ago to figure that out. I want to work hard and be good to make him proud and happy that he saved me. or yep. just make him happy in general. And he's like, I'm happy regardless yeah. of that, but what makes me happy is when you trust me
yep.
for all of that. And that's yep. in a, you know, and I love America. I love America. I'm so thankful for it. But kind of the American way
yep.
is to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Yep. And I'm like, we are so truly unable to do that mm-mm. in really tough situations.
In reality, yeah.
Yeah. But I think for anybody listening, if you're struggling, he will help you.
Yep.
And also, it may be hard.
It is hard.
But the payoff, yeah. even during the struggle,
yep.
you had peace.
Yep.
And you had supernatural ability to yep. say no, you yep. know?
And I even went through, like... whenever I was trying to quit smoking cigarettes,
yes.
you know, because oh, the Lord, like, you know, because like I quit doing meth and yeah. all the, you know, those drugs, but yeah. I still would drink
mm-hmm.
and I still smoke cigarettes,
yeah,
you know, and up until like 3 years after I had started going to church, like mm-hmm. the Lord never really dealt with yeah. me on yeah. drinking or yeah. smoking, you know, yeah. and I was like, but then I got to a point to where, you know, I was like, I don't think I'm going to drink anymore. Like, I right. feel like the Lord is
yeah.
is kind of nudging me into, me. Like, giving that to mm-hmm. him. And so we did. And then my kids thought it was crazy because smoking cigarettes.
Right.
Stopping smoking was harder than any of the other stuff.
Everyone says that.
And
yeah.
it was just so hard for me. It wasn't for my husband. And that's one of those other things. I was like, ah. But my kids thought it was crazy. And so, like, yeah. I would walk around, like, when I would have a crazy, like, craving and stuff. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, out loud, I would say, not today, Satan.
Yeah.
And so, like, my kids, we would be in the grocery store. And I would be like, I'd, yes. like, mumble it under my breath yes. or something. And my youngest yes. daughter would be like, not today, Satan. And she's so loud. They would just, but they knew where yeah. mama got her power yeah. from.
Well, you've trained them well.
They knew that's that, right. like, that's the only yeah. way I made mm-hmm. it was
yeah.
for, and I would be like, not today, Satan. Lord, take that yeah. craving from me. And I yeah. didn't care where I was at, but I knew that I wanted to quit. And I yeah. knew that through his strength, I could.
Yeah.
And so the girls always,
I admire you.
Like, they yeah. still laugh. Like, we still laugh about yes. it because they're just, my babies are just amazing kids. But they know where they know where their help comes
yes.
from.
That's
and that's,
right.
if I can lead them in that, mm-hmm. knowing, like, the chaos that mom has went through. And we're really open and honest with our kids about our past.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, my dad's side of the family, you know, like, they struggled with alcohol. Mm-hmm. My mom struggled with addiction, mm-hmm. and I struggled with it. And their yeah. dad struggled with it. And I want them to be aware of, mm-hmm. you know, it only took one time
yeah.
for me to do that drug, mm-hmm. and it changed my life for 14 years.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm very open with my kids about that. Oh. You know, I've got a 17-year-old. It's about to be 18, yeah. and she just knows, like,
yeah.
and she tells me, she's like, I never even knew y'all used.
Isn't that something?
Isn't
because
that
she would have been old enough to
yeah.
remember.
Yeah, she was yeah. 7 when I finally,
we both got
clean.
Yeah, that's
and so
incredible.
She just remembers, us fighting some, and
yeah.
then she remembers us drinking.
Yeah.
That's literally, and mm. I thank God for that, because yeah. he gave me the ability to be her mom,
yes.
even in my addiction, and I
yes.
didn't lose my child.
Which is a miracle.
It
also
is a miracle.
Because often
yep.
that's not the case. I've had way too many friends, and meth was the thing. And
yep.
they lost.
You
two
lose
of
so
the,
much.
Two of them have lost their own lives.
Yep.
And
I've had
they
I've
they
lost
had lost their
friends.
Children.
Yep.
Custody of their kids before that, and it's yep. it is heartbreaking.
Yep. And I look back now, like, I did lose a lot. Like, I lost all of my teenage years, I lost all of my 20s, you know, like, I didn't get to go to college,
right?
But I'm in college now.
Yeah.
You know, now that I've, you know, I was sober and I was clean, and I just asked the Lord, you know, like, I really want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lord, where do you want me?
Yeah.
Like, where do you want me? Where can I help? And
yes.
where can I work for you the
yeah.
most?
Yeah.
You know, and so I started college. And in this time, you know, like I really felt, you know, I'm going into substance abuse counseling. Mm-hmm. Like that's where I want to be. Adolescence counseling. Yeah. Because I feel like if I had met somebody like me.
Yes.
That just said, hey, it's not worth it. Mm-mm. Like, I know you're struggling. Like, yeah. Life is hard. Teenage years are so hard. And if you don't have a place to be that's healthy, if you're not in church and you're not rooted in God, the world will chew you up and spit you out. Mm-hmm. That's just, it just will. And it's continuing to get worse and worse and worse for our kids.
Yeah.
They have to be rooted in the Lord.
Yeah.
Like, that's just.
I think so, too.
That's the only way they're going to make it.
It is the only way that any of us will. Yeah. And when I started the podcast, I was like, I do not want it to be churchy or and by that
religious.
I love the church, but I also have big issues with the church.
Yep.
Big C church, not my personal church. I love my church. But church is not perfect, like anywhere, because it's made up of flawed humans. And so, but every time I would do an interview, I'm like, I wasn't deliberately trying to cut the church or God out. I just want it to be available to people who may not believe exactly the same way we do.
Yep.
But, and you're still welcome. But it comes back to that. And I'm like, the foundation is in my life is God. And and you can't.
I can't.
There's
deny
no
it.
Part of your life you can.
Yeah, there's no part of my life I cannot see him in it.
That's right.
Even in like the lowest of lows, like whenever I almost OD'd, you know what I mean? Like whenever I'm hugging a toilet, throwing up because I'm OD'ing.
Yeah.
Like he was still sitting there with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just my testimony. It's just I can see his hand in every aspect of my life, and that's just something that I will never forget. And people always ask me, like, why do you believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't I?
Right.
Like, he literally picked me up out of a darkness. Like, he came into the dark and said, hey, I have a way out. Do you want it? Out.
Yeah.
And he gave me the choice to come out.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't force me to come out. He asked me, he's like, you know, I know you're tired.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're wanting somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be your home.
Yeah.
And so that's where, like, I just could not believe in somebody that helps me.
Yeah.
And so whenever I was trying to figure out, like, what is my calling now?
Right.
Like, what is my purpose? Where can I help? Because addiction is where my heart is. Like, I want to help people. I want to be able to go back in the darkness and lead them back out. Like, I want them to see, like, hey, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yes.
And if he can do it for her, he'll do it for me. Because, I mean, I'm just one of his children that he loves.
Yes.
He'll do it for anybody. And so whenever I was deciding, like, praying about, like, what do I do with my life? Counseling was, like, my main vision. And so I eventually want my own counseling agency.
Yes.
I want it to be like a boys and girls home. Mm-hmm. Not just a regular brick and mortar, like, building.
Right.
I want it to be where kids feel safe to come.
Yeah.
And they're going to feel the presence of God every time they walk in the room. And so through all of that, like, I started my journey in college. And then we were led to open a men's recovery center.
Yes.
So, like, that's what my husband and I did for 2.5 years. It recently closed.
Okay.
And so it was just, we've always been in the recovery ministry. Yeah. I feel like that's where God wants us, because that's where our story is. That's where our testimony is the strongest.
Yeah.
And that's where he can use it the most. And so, but we're at a place now where we're kind of in an in-between season.
Yes.
And nobody really tells you about how hard those seasons
that's
are,
right.
You know, and I kind of wanted to talk on that because, you know, growing up, like the last 10 years in church, you know, I always had this idea of what church people were supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like a lot of them don't show you that they're broken just like you
are.
And so I always thought I had to act like this perfect person now that I was a Christian and not show anybody my broken parts. But the Lord is like, that's not.
That helps no one.
I always tried to be like so vulnerable and tell people my story because I mean I'm just trying to make it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And I ask the Lord every day, like, Lord, what can I do for you today? Mm-hmm. You know, like, please forgive me where I fell short yesterday.
Yeah.
But please just show me where I can touch somebody today.
Yeah.
And he's always faithful to put somebody in your mm-hmm. in your path to share the love of God, like yeah. even if it's just
a hug, a smile,
or yeah, a smile, anything. Mm-hmm. Like the world's hard.
Yes, it
and
is.
And so
hard.
I feel like people, you know, talking about churches, people get a bad taste about church in their mm-hmm. mouth because
real
people
things
pretend
happen
like
at church.
They're perfect.
Yes,
and they're really not.
Yeah,
and so then we just look like phonies,
right?
And so I'm like, you've got to be
which
real.
Is grosser than just
yes,
your normal self,
which is yeah. worse than you being just
yes,
a broken person.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah. so I just encourage people, like, show your brokenness, mm-hmm. like, be real, not perfect.
Yes.
Like, just yeah. be real, not perfect, because your yeah. testimony can touch somebody that maybe mine never mm-hmm. will.
Yeah, because everybody's got a different story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
But your story is the one that you have, and yep. someone needs to hear it yep. and be loved by you. I love that about Jesus, that he was drawn to the yeah. not religious.
Yeah, the outcast.
Yes. Yep. I mean, he ran straight to every person. Mm-hmm. Throughout the Gospels, that he should not have run to.
Yeah.
Like,
that everyone's like, don't touch them.
Yes, that they were unclean. Yeah. They were not the right race. They were not the right sex. Mm-hmm. They were not the right anything. Yep. And I love that he smashed all of those yep. Man-made gross rules yeah. and legalism yes. right off the bat. Yep. And he just went about his day doing what his father
told him to,
and yeah. I feel like we make it so much harder than that yep. and put a lot of pressure on ourselves yeah. and I'm like, I can't save anybody. Mm-hmm. All I can do is say, I can show you Jesus and I can love you.
Yep.
And if you have a question, I can attempt to answer it. Some of yep. the questions I will not be able to.
Yep.
But that's really all I can do, and Jesus is saying, that's really all I ask you to do. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to do I took care of the cross
yep.
and the grave.
Yep.
So you just go walk around your ordinary yep. everyday life, loving yep. people and
yep.
being available. One of the things, I listened to something, I may have said this on another podcast episode, but about the fruits of the Spirit, and they were talking about gentleness. And I thought, that is really what draws me a lot of times to Jesus
oh, yeah.
and his people, if they're gentle, not yep. if they're loud and pushy and yep. harsh, but if they're gentle mm-hmm. and you don't have to be, Jesus was gentle. Yeah. He was, I mean, God incarnate, the most powerful being on earth in a physical body. And still yet he was gentle and kind and, yep. you know, did all that. And I love, because I think sometimes, well, I don't know any family who hasn't had been impacted at some point by drugs or addiction yeah. or any kind of addiction. But it's so hard on the family and because it seems to take a long time to get out of, and relapse yeah. is a big part of that. You know, families get tired, and we're not always very gentle
no.
with others, especially probably the ones closest to us.
Yeah.
But I love that your aunt and uncle yeah. were that.
Yeah.
And just, you can look back from this perspective yep. and see how the Lord had them at the right place at the right yep. time throughout your life. And even when you relapsed, yep. like, that doesn't, yep. that's part of the process.
Yep.
I don't know. This is where I'm not a very good podcast interviewer. I get caught up in my head. But if you were going to look back, or you were going to speak to people maybe that have a family member that is really all in to drugs and they don't see a lot of hope, what would you, what do you say to them? Because I know we all want, give me three things I can do that is going to save my person or bring yeah. them out. What can we do? What can't we do?
You can't enable them. My husband and I are really firm believers in you cannot enable them.
And specify exactly what that looks like.
Tough love. Do not give them money.
Yeah.
You know, if they're hungry, go get them something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, when you give them money, they're not going to use it for what they're telling you they're going to use it for.
Yeah.
Just tough love. set boundaries, healthy boundaries for you.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna use you as long as they're gonna, as long as you let them.
Mm-hmm.
And that drains the family.
Mm-hmm.
That drains the family. I'm not saying like just cut them off completely to where you don't talk to them or any of that. It, but for me, it was. It was different because part of my family was using with me.
I know. You didn't lose that.
So I didn't really lose that part, but my husband did.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but my husband, you know, like, he used his mom a lot, you know, and was mean to her, mm-hmm. you know, like, and he just, he would have continued to had she not finally just said, I can't do it no more.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to get help. Yeah. I can't help you anymore. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to be on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there it comes to a point to where you're only hurting them if you're going to continue to give them money, especially.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to go use it.
It is so hard
and it's
to
hard
say
on
no.
You. And especially parents. I feel like it's super, super hard for parents and spouses because you see a different side of them than the addiction. Yeah. And you're not fighting with the person that you love.
Right.
You're fighting the addiction.
Yeah.
They're not the same person that you loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to wrap your mind around, especially as a mom or a dad or a grandparent or even a spouse. Like, they're not the person that you fell in love with.
Right.
It has consumed them to where they're going to do things that they never would have done if they were sober.
Yeah.
They're going to hurt you in ways that they never would intentionally do if they had been sober.
Yeah.
And so it's just healthy boundaries for your sake.
Yeah.
You know, because until they're ready, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah.
You can pay to put them in a rehab, and until they're ready, they're not going to use that opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
And
do you think it's common, like, you see, and just in my personal experience with my friends who have gone into rehab, a lot of times it takes couple of times.
Sometimes
maybe,
it does.
Maybe multiple times. And I don't know I don't know the psychology. I know I've heard the term relapse is a part of recovery, and I don't know
in
if
some
you
people's
think
it
that's
is.
True.
I mean, for me, I didn't necessarily go to rehabs. I went to one rehab.
Okay.
And so,
that's
and then after that, like, I mean, I didn't have anybody to send me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have the money to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time that I would try to get sober was on my own.
Yeah.
And so with the resources, like, just moving away.
Yeah.
You know, I moved to Colorado after I got out of rehab, came home, got back on it. And then whenever, you know, I got pregnant with my daughter, got me a job, and then I moved. Like, I had to change my surroundings.
Whole life,
And so, but to say relapse is part of recovery, for a lot of people it is, and for some, I mean, once you get to that point to where you're like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Some people it's just, you're just done.
Yeah.
But for me, it wasn't that. Like, like I struggled trying to get clean. Like, I would try, and then I would just go right back to it because I just didn't have the resources or the support to get out.
Right. I do think it takes an incredible community and support, because like you said, belonging is one of the core needs we have as humans, which is designed by God to be met in healthy ways. And if it's not, we look outside of that. And I do think for somebody who's struggling, I'm definitely not going to sit here and give a lot of advice, but I know in any struggle that we have, getting in a healthy community, and we've talked about church being that
that was, and for me, that's,
you know, like AA and
there's lots of support systems.
Support groups. Don't be scared to reach out,
and not all of them for everybody. Like,
no,
you may go, to a 12-step program, like, well, this is not for me, or you might go to a Celebrate Recovery.
Celebrate
this
Recovery,
is not for me. Personally, for me, it was literally just getting in a church.
Yeah,
I didn't want to work a program.
Right.
Like, that's not what I wanted. Like, that's just not what was. So
you were drawn to.
I was drawn to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I knew if I could just get to him and stay with him, I could make it. And so we just was sold out. Once I got to a place where I felt like home, like I said, like that church was literally
my
home.
Well, the church was your support.
It was my support.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, it was my they turned into my family. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I would struggle, they would always pray for me. I was very open with them about, like, look, I'm struggling today. Yeah. And don't be afraid. Like, don't be ashamed that you're still struggling.
No.
Like, yeah, some people, it's easy for them. And some people, it's not. Like, for me, it was not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan would always tell me, like, oh, you're going to go ask again?
Yeah.
And he would use that and use that. But I never gave in. Like, I knew that I needed that support. I needed that strength. When I wasn't strong enough, I needed somebody to come along me and be like, hey, you're going to make it till tomorrow. Like, you're gonna do this.
Yes.
You've got the strength, you know. And for me, it was Jesus. And for a lot of people, that may not work for them. They may need more than, I mean.
Yeah, they may need Jesus. I mean, they do need Jesus.
They do. I'm not saying that don't.
Exactly, I know what you mean.
I meant, like, they may need, they may need.
A stricter program.
Yeah, they may need steps to go through. Because I'm not, I mean, 12-step programs, they do have a lot of, like, steps that help you to forgive yourself and make amends and things like that. And a lot of people need that in order to move forward, to forgive themselves.
I think so too.
They need to make amends with people and that's, they do help some people.
Well, I mean, that's a biblical principle.
Yep.
So yes, going back and,
there's so many other supports. Like, there's several, like, recovery centers, you know, there's counseling, there's, and now counseling is so much more acceptable.
It is
to where, like, I need
thank
help.
God. Yes. Yeah. It is. The stigma has kind of gone away.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to also ask you was, because that, I mean, and this is all directed at anyone who wants to listen, but if you were going to talk to somebody who was struggling right in the midst of addiction right now, what would you say?
There's hope. There is a hope.
Yeah.
I mean, there, and I'm gonna get teary on
that's
that.
That's good. That's
because, when you're in addiction, it's like you have blinders on and you don't see any good anywhere. And so, whenever I finally got sober, and I was probably 6 months sober, like, the reality of the real world came back to where I was like, man, there really are good people out here. Like, there really is hope. Like, I'm not just surrounded by darkness. And that's what Satan wants you to stay in. And but when you know that there's a hope, and there's a hope in Jesus, and there's a hope in sobriety, and there, he is the restorer. Like,
yes,
you may have broken things, and you may have made so many bad choices, and you may have, you know, slept around, you may have all of these things that, you know, Satan would use against you. Like, there's life past that. Like, your choices don't have to be a life sentence. You know, that I mean, it was a battle, and you lost that battle at that moment, but the war is still waging. And, like, with Jesus, we're victorious no matter what. Like, the Bible tells us, like, we win in the end. So, I mean, just I get to that point to where I'm like, just find hope. Find somebody to talk to and say, hey, I'm struggling. You know, like, I'm ready for something different. You know, I mean, you got to want something different. You got to want to be able to live a life without it, but it's doable. Like, so just be encouraged that, you know, like, I tell families a lot, because working in the recovery center and stuff, we had lots of families that would call us. I'm like, what do we do? I'm like, you just love them. Like, you just love them. You never stop praying. But there is a hope. Like, I never would have thought, like, looking back now, like, even some of my friends that are still in addiction, they're, and I run into them every now and then, they're like, nobody would have ever thought you'd have been the one that made it out. You know, like, it just, like, I'm just blessed to be one that can speak on the darkness and the light. Like, it's, I've seen both sides. And there's hope. There's a way out.
It's so good, Ashley, because you are, I did not know you then, but we've got mutual friends who would be like, you would not have known her. And I'm like, when they said that, you had a great story, I was just like, really? And just the fact that you and your husband both decided. And I do, one thing I think that also gives hope is, no matter, again, what your circumstance is, the Lord is not bound by time.
That's right.
Like we are. And so he is working when we do not see it.
Yep.
We don't know it. We think, I mean, when we're not even thinking about him, he's thinking about us. Yep. And he is orchestrating, I mean, two lost souls find each other.
To just randomly meet through one mutual friend.
And And all of a sudden, and you stay in darkness for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he brings you out. And together, what a dynamic, I mean, like the perfect team to come and.
And it's been like a huge, like, transformation for us both.
Yeah.
Like, I used to be mean. Like, I was such a mean person. And, like, the Lord, like, I just want to love people now.
Yeah.
Like, I just. Life is too short, like, and the world's hard.
Yes.
Just love people.
Yeah.
Like, it costs $0 to be kind.
Yes, it does. And there is a place for everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a church for everyone.
Yes.
Doesn't have to be the same church. Nope. Doesn't have to be the same denomination, nope. The same town.
We're all trying to make it to the same place.
Yeah. Yes, we are. And, again, Jesus is not bound by signs or buildings or anything else. And he is crazy about people. And the hope, I think, is it. And just if you are struggling today, literally, like Ashley said, just say something to someone and be brave. Because I can't imagine the courage it takes.
Yeah.
Because besides the fact that society does look down on all of us for some reason or another, Satan is filling your mind with lies about what people think of you, even when they're not thinking that of you. And so I know it's scary to probably reach out and ask for help or say, listen, nobody even knows, but this is my struggle. And it does not have to be drugs or alcohol. It can be any manner of things.
Yep.
And I feel like just saying the word.
Yep.
I know in my own life, just saying to someone, this is my struggle and I need help. And I can't get out.
Yeah.
So.
I need you to come. We all need somebody. We all need somebody to come alongside of us when we can't walk on our own. And Jesus is that person. But he also sends people that is going to walk through the fire with you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to send people.
Yeah.
You just have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bible says, you have not because you ask not.
Yeah.
Like, and it also says that Satan is the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time that he tells me that I'm not worthy, I shout for joy because I know it's a lie.
Yeah.
Every time he tells me that I'm not strong enough.
Yes.
Like, it just encourages me. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I still struggle with all of that stuff.
Yes.
And I still feel like, you know, sometimes I feel like an imposter in my own life sometimes.
Yeah.
But I know that's Satan.
Yeah.
And I know that,
like,
I'm here for a reason.
Yes.
And I know that God is going to use everything that has ever been done bad to me or that I've ever done bad and use it for somebody, use it for his glory.
Yes.
And so just be encouraged to know that recovery is possible.
Yeah. And it's a process.
Yep.
It is not one and done.
Mm-mm.
I mean, sometimes it is, and yay for those stories.
Yeah.
Those are great, and I love it when that happens. But I'm like you. Most of my stuff is two steps forward, one step back.
I was a hard-headed person. I didn't learn lessons very easily.
Well, we all are.
And so I didn't learn it the first time around.
Yeah.
I learned it the fourth time around.
Yeah.
That
God will let you have some space.
Yep.
He will let you. He does give you the choice and let you decide. And he is very merciful to receive you back in.
But he will give you a way out.
Yes, he will. Well, it says that, and he absolutely will. And he understands all of our human feelings and needs and thoughts and pains, which is another thing I don't think we actually talk about a lot.
No.
It seems like maybe we do more, but Jesus suffered in every way we do. And he gets it.
He does.
And
get it.
So he's not surprised or mad at you for having those.
For being human.
Yeah, for being human. What else? What else? Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to say? Or any, I know that you said you started pretty young.
Yeah.
I don't know how many actual young people listen to this podcast, but if you have any advice for young people or maybe people who are raising young people as far as protecting them, or things to look for in your kids that might be alarming, what would you say to any of that?
I mean, I was pretty good at hiding it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a typical drug.
Right.
I just wasn't that typical kid. Like, yes, right. I hung out with friends. Yes, we would drink on the weekends. You know? I mean, that was just what we did in small town America.
Yeah.
But I started hanging out with older mm-hmm. crowd.
Yeah.
That weren't my school friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I started hanging out with older men.
Yeah.
You know, like, my friend was dating an older man, so that's who I hung out with all the time. Just be careful. Be nosy.
Yeah.
Know where your kids are going. Mm-hmm. Know who
they're with.
Know who they're with.
Mm-hmm.
My husband gets on to me because I always trust my daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, she's never...
I do trust
she's
your
never,
daughter, too.
She's never given me a reason not to, you know? But
But
he sees it. You know,
he's
like,
wants to protect her.
Yeah, and so, but we are protective parents.
Yes.
Like we don't let our kids go just anywhere
mm-hmm.
or hang out with just anybody. Like I want to know their parents. Mm-hmm. I want to know what their parents do.
Mm-hmm.
I want, and I'll ask around. Like I'll mm-hmm. Facebook stalk them. Like and so I just be nosy, be present.
Yes,
in your kids,
Put your phone down.
Be present. And understand that they have feelings,
mm-hmm.
that they're going through a lot. Teenage mm-hmm. years are hard. They're trying to figure out
who
they are, trying to be independent and still need you. Like, it's all a whirlwind of emotions. And so, you know, at 15, I was, you know, had started partying pretty hard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was just looking for that place
mm-hmm.
to fit in.
Yes.
And so just be present. Like, let them know that you love them
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, have open conversations with them. Don't just talk at them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them, listen to them. And, you know, have hard conversations. Mm-hmm. They're so uncomfortable as a parent.
Yeah. Oh, it is as a parent.
But
That's
we,
true.
In my household, like growing up, like we didn't talk about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like have those hard conversations with your kids. They deserve it.
Yeah.
And they need it, because if you're not going to tell them about what to expect and how to protect themselves, the world's going to tell them how not to.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah.
So.
They will hear something.
Yep.
Well, that's good. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Ashley. Thanks. You do have a great story, and I am so excited to see just the next step for you and your husband, what the next project God has for you, and congrats on fixing to finish your master's in counseling and...
Wow. I have one semester left.
I
finish in December.
Downhill.
I'm so excited
side.
To be finished.
That I know. That's a great relief. And you're going to make a fantastic counselor.
Thanks.
And safe spot for a lot of people. So I appreciate it. If you are watching and you have a child or you are struggling and you are looking for resources, we will link some in the show description. And Ashley, I think, is on social media.
I am.
And has stated before this, if you want to reach out to her, and you
message
need help,
me on Messenger. I have several resources for women and men. I know where some meetings are. I know great counselors. Like, just, you're not alone in this.
You're not. And
there are resources out there for you.
Yes, so. we can get you connected to a good spot. I know in... we mentioned it in this episode, but Celebrate Recovery, Atoka County has a really good active Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm.
Choctaw County does too.
In Choctaw County. So if you are looking, though, that is one place I know to say out loud is a good spot, but we'll link some of the resources below, and just know that there is hope. Ashley is living proof and there is always a chance for a new day. So thanks for watching Marcy in the Middle and listening, and we will see you next time. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you heard, please like, follow, and hit subscribe to keep up with all future episodes. We'd also love for you to leave us a 5-star review. That wraps it up for today's Marcy in the Middle. And remember, whatever you're in the middle of, you're not alone. We'll see you next time.